Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, this is Nicola Comotti here at the 74th edition of the Venice Film Festival, and today I've got the pleasure to be with Nancy Burisky. Welcome.
It's wonderful to be here, thank you.
So Nancy, you're here with a new documentary I had the privilege to watch yesterday in the press screening, and we're talking about the rape of Recy Taylor. It's just such a striking piece of document, because we can read it in so many levels. So we start from the individual, Recy, but then we already go back in time, and we understand actually the angst and the pangs of like being there in the 1940s for the African-American community, and of course for women. But then it's so contemporary, more than ever, and it's so sad to say it, but it is. How did you manage, first of all, maybe we could start, of course, when you decided to make this project, and then I was very intrigued to know what was your, what did you want to pinpoint, you know, throughout this journey? Because you could have gone in so many different directions, yeah, but then you managed to shape it this way.
One of the challenges in making a film like this is telling a personal, very dramatic story like that of Recy Taylor, but also making it a universal story that relates to more people than Recy, and obviously the rapes that took place in the 40s certainly did happen to many more people than Recy Taylor, but also linking it to current day. I don't know if I would have been as compelled to make the story if I didn't see the relationship to what's happening today. So how do you do this in a dramatic way and make people understand these connections? And that's always a challenge for me. I do it. I think I do it in most of my films, and I hope I succeeded in this one because I want people to appreciate how universal Recy's story was, how courageous she was to speak up when she did and accuse her attackers, and what this means today as women all over the world are being raped and should feel no shame about what happens to them.
That's probably one of the strongest points, you know, the complete lack of shame.
Yeah.
It's just, and the power to do something that is insane. We can live this through Recy's relatives' voices and testimonies, but also you decided to use specific, let's call it footage and archival footage, and of course playing with sounds. And
yeah,
then I waited until the very end because I wanted to know exactly, you know, what the beautiful voice was. And then we know that it also is the activist. So you just, this wonderful kind of threading that you did.
Thank you.
What was it, the collaboration with the other, for example, the team, so the music supervision and then the editing itself? I just wonder how you made all this group.
You know, these films are all collaborative, and there are many very important people that play a role, and somehow it all comes together organically. We have a terrific editor named Anthony Rapoli, a wonderful music supervisor, Randall Poster, and he introduced us to many of the songs that were contemporary to Recy Taylor. Fannie Lou Hamer is an activist, as you mentioned, and we have about four or five songs of hers in the soundtrack. Although not everybody will recognize the importance of that, we know it's there, and we understand that, you know, what happened to Recy Taylor and what was going on in those days was affecting many, many people. Fannie Lou Hamer's family, her mother and her grandmother were victims of rape. So she spoke out about this often, and having her voice in that soundtrack was very important to us.
I thought also that one of the strengths of this documentary was the way you managed to create something very personal and very, you know, like something that you actually can attach to emotionally, but as well as making it, you know, highlighting the fact that actually rape is a political weapon. More than ever, you know, it's just like the way to diminish women and men as well. I remember that passage was very key. Sometimes, you know, like while I was watching the film, I was literally completely helpless, and I was like, how can we change this? How, you know, of course, speaking up, you know, and making Recy's story again relevant is one way, but even in everyday life, you think it's more, as you highlighted in the film, it's like the way to, the counter-movement, counter-information, it starts from there?
I think it's information. I think it's conversation. I think it's making films that people can relate to, because not every film that has information is necessarily going to move you emotionally. And so that's one of the challenges for me, because I feel like the films I make need to have an emotional intelligence, so you feel empathy for the people, so that you can connect to them, that you feel it could have happened to you. And so I think that's a big, that's a very important step for the kind of films I make. But I also think that Reese's Courage is a very important message, because you're right, women are being raped all over the world, and it is a form of terrorism. And they need to take a lesson from Recy Taylor, who felt no shame and who knew what happened to her was wrong and spoke up because that was the right thing to do. And, you know, I hope that this movie inspires other women to feel proud, and not proud of being raped, but proud for themselves, that they have the right to speak up and accuse their attackers.
Thank you so much, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being with us. Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.